Look like she was a Papa Hotsy tonight, huh?
Alan owes me.
She started dating.
All right, it is 6 o'clock. We're going to go ahead and get started. We welcome you to the Planning Commission meeting tonight. We'll go ahead. Alan Weiss is gone. I'll be filling in for him tonight. But we'll go ahead and start with the invocation and a Pledge of Allegiance if there's anyone that would like to volunteer.
I could do that.
Thank you.
Our Father in Heaven, we are grateful for this beautiful day that we have today and for the things that we've been able to do and for this town of Laverkin and for the opportunity we have to live here and to discuss the affairs of Laverkin and help and guide us in the decisions that we make, that we will be able to keep in mind the ideas and the things of this town that we enjoy and make correct decisions. And we thank thee for the rain that we have received and ask thee to continue to bless this area with the more rain that we need. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Real quickly, in attendance, we've got Sherm Howard, Richard Howard, myself, Kyson Spenlove, and Christian Harrison. We'll go ahead. Item number B, we'll do the approval of tonight's agenda. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve tonight's agenda.
I'll second that.
Awesome. Approval and second by Christian and Sherm. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item C, approval of the minutes for February 25th, 2026 work regular meeting and the March 11th regular meeting.
I recommend approval of the February 25th and the March 11th regular work meeting.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. So, item D, reports. John?
Since we had a joint session last week, I don't really have anything additional to report.
Perfect. And then I know Director of Operations is not here. I don't think there's any other items. Okay. All right. With that being said, we'll move into our public hearing portion. We've got a small group tonight, so I'm probably going to go ahead. Unless it's a problem, I'll open up all three of them for public hearing. So if you are here for the public hearing, come up, state your name for the record, and then which section or which zone you've got questions on. We'll go ahead and open that up.
We do need these ordinances in place, but I want to make sure that as they go in place, that they are used in proper areas. My big concern in areas such as on 300 South and the 100 West, all those directions with the hot springs there encroaching into the neighborhood, that then they think the squire field needs to then go all this also, that I do think we need to realize that 100 West, other than a trailer court, no one else has R16. So I would suggest that when we look at these things, that we keep things consistent with what is already present in that neighborhood. I do realize we need to have areas, but let's keep the ones that are present consistent with what is there. Thank you.
Thank you.
I lost my place on my phone, so hopefully I'm speaking to the correct thing here. On the Patty Wise, on the HDR 14, that's where the public hearing is for this evening, the building height of 4 stories, I really object to that. I would like to see it at 3 stories. We approved 4 stories for commercial on the premise that nobody will build if we don't have four stories, the cost of land, the cost of building, et cetera. But I honestly think where the four-story apartments, townhomes, et cetera, condominiums are going to be in the middle of other residential buildings, that would feel very intrusive for a town size. We're really quite small, so I would like to see the residential left at three stories in that zone. Other than that, good work.
Thank you. All right. If there are no other comments, we'll go ahead and close our public hearing. And we'll go ahead and go into item F, which is business. We'll go ahead and start with item one within the business, which is discussion, possible action to recommend approval for an ordinance creating the MDR 8 medium density residential zone. Does anyone have comments or questions on this zone?
I guess I do. Has there been discussion about where they're thinking about using these, or are we simply putting these in to have them on the books for when we want to use them? They haven't really put any discussion into where these are going yet,
that's
right?
Correct. I think, well, Brad can answer that.
Yeah, there is no specific location for any of these zones yet. These are just going to go in your code. Developer comes in someday, and they want to change a zone to one of these zones. They'll come before you and you decide whether or not that's the place for it to be or not. But for the time being, this is just going to go in there. I see this more possibly going downtown here, but probably more on the other bench when we get to that point. But these are just kind of zones that will be in your code that can be used by somebody.
Just so that as we begin to paint in the upper zone and zone the upper bench, we can decide this area, they're ready and on the books for when we need them.
Brad, from your experience, how much pressure did you get from developers to push for, because I pictured it as more maybe up on the hill or whatever, but if there's a prime piece of property down here that a developer wants to push for, how much pressure did you get, and were you able to still keep the plan for the way we envision downtown here?
It really depends on the developer and what their goals are. I mean, obviously the developer is trying to make as much money as they can, so you can try to get as many units as they can. But again, you would have to change that zone, and you would have to approve it in order to buy the zone. You don't have to do that in any of these problems. So it's going to come down to you and how you want to do it. But these just provide options.
Did you find yourself ever being able to push back to high-pressure developers?
Yeah. It just kind of depends. You know, it depends on the other locations and what's going on, but yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on this zone, it allows for the 4,000-square-foot minimum, or you have the option for the 8. It's the 8 units per acre, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So it is something that it's the medium density. But when it compares to some other developments that we've seen, like this density is not, it's less than even our townhomes right now that we allow, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, the units per acre, you're still kind of at a single level for the most part. You're not three stories or something.
Yeah.
But, the units per acre is a fairly dense development.
Yeah, you're still restricted at that 35-foot limit, I think, for your structure.
Yes.
Any other questions you guys have?
Oh, sorry,
we're on the, you're okay. MDR 8 discussion. Thanks, Brad.
Okay.
If there are no other discussions, I'd entertain a motion.
I think Matt ought to do it because I hate to be the one.
I can do that.
Sorry, Matt.
We're good. I make a motion to recommend approval for the ordinance creating an MDR 8 medium density residential zone.
I'll second that.
Awesome. Motion by Matt, second by Christian. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any against? Okay. Let's go ahead and jump into item number two, discussion and possible action to recommend approval for an ordinance creating the HDR 14 high-density residential zone. Let's go ahead and see if there's any questions on that, questions or comments.
This is the one that I have an affinity for what Patty said. Reading that four stories, not only is it just a huge albatross possibility, the practicality of it, if you ever lived in an apartment building, we've lived on the third floor before, and without a freight elevator, lifting all that stuff. Which really doesn't matter here, but I really hate to think of the possibility of four stories of apartments. Brad, did you ever work four stories in your experience?
Have I ever worked on a four story?
Did you ever approve it? Did you ever have them?
Yeah.
And did you have to have extra fire?
You do have here. I think there's, is it over four stories? I'm pretty sure it's over four stories. If you get above that, then you've got to get in some different fire protection.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see most of these at about four stories and not above that. Mm-hmm. It really comes down to what kind of density you want in town. If you don't want 14 units per acre, we can go back and rework this and make it less. But you're not going to get 14 units per acre on a three-story building. So it kind of comes down to what you're looking at and what you want to have. But yeah, I have worked on these. And, you know, the roof is probably not there yet. But as things develop, maybe there's something to think.
So I was looking at this and thinking a little bit. I do agree. I think four stories is really tall next to residential. I was curious if you've ever seen where there's a zone that's more restricted, saying you can have this zoning if you're adjacent to all sides have to be zoned with specific zoning. Like it can't go next to other residential, like single family residential. Because I don't know if I'm opposed to the height, because I think if you want the density, you're going to have to go up. But it'd be nice to see if there's a way to restrict where it can go to protect views for these single families.
Yeah. Well, as you know, guys, we've written in there, and it's actually your suggestion to do the step.
Yeah.
So that's part of that. But I think once you, and maybe Faye can answer this, but once you have a zone on the books, anybody can come in and say, yeah, I want to put that zone somewhere.
Mm-hmm. But the one we got,
at least applying for it.
If they did want to get a high density zone right next to a residential zone, that would have to come to the city. We could say at that time, we don't want this right next to a R110 or an R16. You know, we want it somewhere else.
Yeah, you're not putting this on a specific piece of property right now. You're just putting this in your code. And it may never be used. It may be used on the top edge. Who knows?
So I think that concern about, you know, I agree, a single family home with a four-story building next to it would seem imposing, but that's not something we have to let in. Just because it's on this book doesn't mean that will happen. We can pick where we want to put this zone and make sure it doesn't end up looming over some small residential neighborhood.
It's kind of like how they did in Washington. Those four-story are right by residential,
mm-hmm.
too. I don't know, those are huge.
The thing is with this 14 units per acre, if that's not something you want down in this area, then you shouldn't approve it. When we get to the point where we're working on the top bench up there, I really see that being its own, they call it specific plan of development, to where you can have specific zoning just for that area. And this may be better up there than it is down here. But having said that, you might want something, maybe Patty's right, it's three stories.
The old Laverkin in me doesn't want this ordinance at all. The new reality in me says that we need something like this so we can control it. But that four stories really bites me.
Yeah.
Well, I can come back with 10 minutes. 12 units maybe per acre and three stories.
I think if you think of the four stories, not next to a residential, but maybe near a commercial zone or near the medium density where it feels like a more natural transition, I don't think the four stories feels as imposing in that scenario. And that's a scenario we can build on the top edge where the density is closer to the commercial and you work your way towards smaller residential.
What I hate on with that thought, and I understand what you're saying, is that once it's on the books, it means the gate is open.
Yes.
And if the wolves come in, then you have to figure out how to keep them out.
I would almost say have Brad go back and look at a three-story option with a change in density. But because they can, anyone can come in and still request to do more like a development agreement and see if they can get additional density depending on what they have. But that's going to be a very specific case, whereas we can control and say we're okay with three-story. That might be the best route. Unless you guys think differently, I think we...
No, I think that'd be good.
I like your thought. And
I don't know that... I'm not feeling ready to jump. And I know it's going to happen. So if that feels and sounds better to me...
Yeah.
Now, you need to realize, too, that...
I know.
Later in this agenda is the mixed use. The mixed use is the choice.
And mixed use, to me, is okay. I don't know why... I mean, I've seen like the ones in St. George and some of the stuff right on.
Yeah.
That just is a different feel to me.
Mixed use relates to business and housing as opposed to just housing.
If we want commercial and good commercial, we're going to have to, I think we're going to have to work with the mixed use and four story. But residential, I think, would be nice to control.
So your mixed use would go on more commercial units than residential areas, which makes a big difference.
So you may go back and rework that down to three stories and 12 units per acre.
I appreciate you doing that.
Is there anything we need to do on that? Do we need to table that?
Just to continue it for.
That need to be a vote or anything, or just a decision?
We should probably have a motion to continue with the vote.
So I'll entertain a motion for item number two.
Oh, let me do that. But if I entertain it, how do I say it?
Recommend that we continue for the next.
Okay, I recommend that we continue HDR 14 high density residential zone for reworking.
I'll second that.
Perfect. We have motion by Richard, a second by Sherm. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Let's go to item number three in business, which is a discussion and possible action to recommend approval for an ordinance creating the R16 one-family residential zone.
We knew this was coming, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
This one was a little more.
This one was.
I mean, I know it's coming.
You know, a couple of 3 years ago, we thought we could kick it down the road, and we did.
Yep. So yeah. This would be the minimum lot area of 6,000 square feet. So definitely tightening up our single family zones.
Yes.
I know, like places up in Layton, they've approved now many lots that are basically these ADUs that are standalone. Because of the pressure and for housing everywhere, and I think that they can kind of caught up with the pressure.
Is this like the ones that are out here by the State Center, or are they like the Eves?
That's a good question. I think they're smaller than
Eves. Eves are about 8,000.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's kind of like those ones that were all in a row right there.
Yes.
Okay.
All individuals.
That's understandable. Yeah.
Brad, yes.
I probably worked on 1,000 units of 6,000 square feet. In California, it's what's happening here. The land value's gotten so high, the lots get smaller. So it used to be like an 18,000 square foot lot, and we're living in a 6,000 square foot lot, just for affordability purposes. So it's kind of where you're headed. You're going to see a lot more of these coming through.
You could see us using these some places. So.
They're still really nice units.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of.
Yeah.
There's a couple we've worked on in Hurricane that turned out really nice.
I know I've been hearing a lot that the younger generation doesn't actually want a yard. They want to be able to go and enjoy life and not mow the lawn and take care of their yard. So we might need smaller lots, whether that's just because it's more affordable, I don't know.
I would move then that we recommend approval for the ordinance creating a R16 one-family residential zone.
Do I have to vote for it?
Okay, we got a motion by Sherman.
I'll second that motion.
Second by Christian. All in favor?
Aye.
Reluctantly.
Any against?
No. Okay. I know we need it.
All right. Okay, item 4 is discussion and possible action to set a public hearing for April 22nd, 2026 for an ordinance amending the mixed use zone. I know we've discussed this one lots. I don't know if there's any other discussion items before we set this public hearing.
Yeah, I'm glad to see it finally moving forward. So maybe, I nominated the last one, so. Christian, you're up.
I'll make a motion that we set a public hearing for the April 22nd.
Perfect.
Public hearing for April 22nd for the ordinance amending the mixed-use zone.
So I'll second.
All right. Motion by Christian, second by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That was unanimous. Item 5, a discussion regarding the current parking ordinance. You should have updated sheets or at least separate sheets that Brad passed out here for that.
Yeah, this is just more of a heads up. I did pass these out for you to take a look at and get a chance. I've been assigned to kind of go through the parking ordinance and kind of bring it up to speed in two areas. My question for you tonight, is there anything out there that you're looking for specifically in regard to parking requirements that you'd like to see change?
Are there, in regards to parking, is there provisions or are there provisions necessary in regards to underground parking, if we ever think about that as a possibility, especially with higher heights getting mixed use? Some of the mixed use projects I see at my work, they do have underground parking. Do we have provisions for that?
I'm not aware of any. And normally, like, a parking ordinance isn't going to get into that to a certain extent, because if they want to do underground parking, they're going to have to meet, like, the size requirements and those type of things. Maybe more of a zoning type of thing, but, you know, I can look at that and see.
Okay. I think that's just something we may want to consider again. Limited land, you could have parking above ground. Might as well, if it's profitable for the developer to do, I'd like to see the option for underground parking.
Well, it comes down to land values again. As land values go up, the parking goes underground. It makes more sense.
Right.
It used to be that it cost about $10,000 a stall for a parking structure. Now, that was 10 years ago. It's probably like $20,000 a stall now. So it's all just a matter of money. It's I guarantee it's probably starting to make sense.
Yeah, I was going to say, we looked at a preliminary project here in Leverkin that they wanted only underground. Mm-hmm. And there's, other than using international building code and, you know, some real typical standards, there's not a lot.
Yeah. I guess that goes back to Christian's question. Do we need to address it here, or will it just address itself?
I'll take a look at the underground part, see if we can address it in here. The first thing I'm going to work on is going to be the parking. Seems to be the more pressing.
And this is looks like an average of 20 feet by 9 feet wide, unless you're by a sidewalk, which makes it a little hard for a truck, but as long as there are kind of your standard truck, they get kind of squished for our area.
I think 24 feet is too small for a drive-out or truck.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Even our standard was like 25 normally, but even that's a little bit small.
Mm-hmm.
So I could look and see if there's something else. But it should go up a little bit more than what it is, because everybody's got trucks around here. So.
Yes.
Well, that's what I notice here is
nobody fits anymore.
Yeah.
Can't go down
the park straight to look at.
Or maybe it's because I'm always in a truck.
No, parking lot, you have landscaping, and there's no landscaping in the farms. Where there's normally about every 10 stalls, you can have a landscape thing or that kind of stuff. There's none of that anymore. Someone will look at that too.
I was going to say, I wouldn't mind seeing that because it does help to kind of break things up.
Yeah, it softens it up.
It does.
Yeah. I haven't had a lot of time to look through this, but one thing that I always run into that I'd love to see is a minimum. I know everyone likes to create additional stalls or parking spaces. They'll do a compact stall. And not very many cities have like a minimum stall size for what's considered compact, and so they get away with a lot of stalls. I just didn't know if maybe that's something we can either determine or call out as like a minimum that we would allow.
If you're asking my opinion, I would keep your stall size the way it is. I think compact parking is terrible.
Perfect. And I would probably agree with that. It'd be nice to just state so that it's not something
they have to. Even in California, people hate it. It's not everybody doesn't have stall cars.
Well, and a motorcycle still takes up a full stall.
Yes.
They think it's less. It's not.
So, I mean, I wasn't even going to look at any type of compact parking unless that's something you want to
do. No, I just want to make sure if we're going to allow it, which if we're not, might be worth just saying,
stating it in there.
This is our, you know, as long as this is our minimum stall size, we do not allow for compacts. Something like that, I think, would be fine.
Yeah. And you already mentioned that the drive area being 24 feet. If you have a 20-foot truck, you're backing out 20 feet, and then you have 4 feet to try to turn that.
Yeah.
And then the other truck's parked on the other side.
So I'm giving that needs to be, you know, 26 to 28 feet.
Yeah.
It's the reality of right now. The truck is the new family vehicle, isn't it? And some of them are monstrous.
Yeah.
Especially if you went to the car show this weekend.
I mean, 24 is just too small, in my opinion, so.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't have any depth of memory to know, but on a professional business offices, is this always standard one parking space for 200 square feet, or was it kind of driven by the fields that just crunched?
No, normally for like office, and this is just general office, it's 1 to 250 square feet. Mm.
That's pretty standard.
More than, your code requires a little bit more. I was going to look at all this kind of stuff and you can kind of get it adjusted, unless you see in a proper office space.
No, I think I just have an issue with the fields also.
We've learned a lot from those ones.
Yeah, we have.
What I'll do is I'll go through it and I'll make some adjustments. I'll yellow everything so you can see what's being changed.
Yeah, I like that.
At a future date. But this is kind of first up. It's not going to be the next meeting, but
and Patty has a comment.
If I may.
Yeah.
Brad, I didn't see it in here, so forgive me if it is, but what about bike parking stalls? Would this be the appropriate place to have that with this?
We've had, like in the higher density zones, we do require.
But commercial zones, because we're talking about a walkable downtown?
Yeah.
So.
I might look at that.
Yeah.
For certain type of uses. Okay.
Signs. Yeah, was there any other questions or comments on the designs, like the parking lot design standard that kind of shows the three? I think we talked minimums, probably looking at slightly larger drive aisles.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was it. Okay. Item 7, just the current sign ordinance.
Again, I pass this out to you just to take a look at. I haven't taken a good look at this one yet. It's pretty extensive. I will go through it and see what we can do. I know there's been a lot of problems. Signs is always a big mess. Any city you go to, signs is a problem.
Okay.
So if you have any specific issues with signs, please let me know that.
Just if we open it to letting businesses put a sign somewhere, then everybody else thinks they might need to, unless it's on their property. But as far as directional signs, I have no problem with the airport or.
Yeah, but it gets back to that issue we talked about before with directional signs. As long as governmental use, I think they're probably fine.
Yeah.
It gets into the private stuff.
Yeah.
When you get into problems.
But we've already kind of talked about that.
Yeah.
I do have one, and this is something that if you go through Hurricane with the movie theater.
Oh,
It is super distracting, super big. It's super bright, and it's playing pretty much a movie on this on the side of the road. I think it's a great way to bring business in, but I just didn't know how do we help to not so much prevent having businesses put signs up, but have them so they're not overbearing quite like that.
A lot of cities have gone away from like the pole signs to the monument signs.
Okay.
And that kind of gets away a lot of that.
It's kind of a mix of both.
Mix
the
of
pole
both.
Sign and the monument. They have it all big and boxy now. It's
It's a good one to bring up because especially right there, everybody's breaking at 7th West. And if you're looking at that sign at the wrong time.
That would fall into the animated section, wouldn't it? Or is that under a different section where it says it's it's conditional use only? I don't know what the conditional use permit, what that means, but that would fall under that section, right?
That makes sense, yeah.
Where it would have to be permitted, and they couldn't just put one up as it stands right now. They'd have to come and ask to put one up, right?
That I don't know. I mean, I think if someone wanted to come and put a sign up, they probably could based on this code.
Can we put limits on like those type of signs?
That's where
how big or how small?
Yeah, I'd hope Brad, with his experience, he can help us understand how to protect ourselves from that.
Signs are massive.
Yeah. Well, and it's like
you should prohibit roof signs. There's a lot of stuff you don't want. You don't want these gigantic pole signs.
Yeah, and it's family owned. I know them really well, and it's great publicity. It's a great way to get, but I drive right by it every day, and it's distracting. So I just want to. We have a lot of tourism that comes through, and I would like to limit that as much as we can, just to have more uniformity in our signs. So.
I appreciate Kyson's.
We talked about at the workshop in the way you want your city to look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And signs is a big one. It's huge. Yeah.
This is Kyson's bringing up some good points. I had read through this, but I don't know that I read it carefully enough to know signs on corner. You ever trying to turn right off of 7th West?
Yeah, I haven't looked at that yet either. My guess, you should have a cutoff there to where it's not in your way when you make the
If they even just put it up a couple more feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. We need to set back even more. Yeah.
Well, and I do know that part of our sign ordinance is our flags as well, our flagpole heights and the structures themselves, so there's a lot.
Then you get into temporary signage too. Mm-hmm. Like for sale.
Yeah, when you're trying to get out on the highway at 100 South, the for sale sign on the Squire property blocks you from the view of what's coming from the north.
And that's what I'm saying. It's going to take a while to go through the sign ordinance as opposed to the parking.
Yeah.
But it's a worthwhile exercise.
And I would agree on the temporary signs. There's things we need to
fix. Well, you can actually get into certain type of permits for those two, the temporary sign permits, and not just allow people to just put them up. But we can get into all that kind of stuff, too.
Okay. Any other comments on the signs?
No, but I do appreciate
it. Thank you, Brad. We appreciate coming.
Brad, your experience here is always so helpful. Thank you. And your willingness to work with us like you do.
You guys are great.
That's one of you.
How are things going over in Leeds? Are they facing the same problem?
Growth. It's just growth.
Mm. It's all over.
Growing pains.
And I understand.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Okay. If there's nothing else on our agenda, so we'll go ahead and go to item G.
I have moved that we adjourn.
I'll second that.
Awesome.